you're on the top of Tzadi Tess. I'm an Aleph right from the bottom. I don't know if you saw my text about charts, colored sheets, black and white sheets, whatever you like. So it'll be helpful for mining our way through a little bit today. Okay, so says the Gemara as well. Tanu Rabbanan Yishkol Itzla Imo Misafek. Lachoso Misafek, Levito Misafek. So there's a possibility of a person who find themselves in a scenario where they have to do chalitza with their sister, or their mother, their sister, or their daughter, three different scenarios, all misafik. Because of some type of scenario that can come up, that will result in there's some type of suffik, they have to end up giving chalitza, and they're going to end up giving chalitza, doing chalitza with these individuals. And the reason it's a chiddush is because, obviously, someone's mother, someone's sister, someone's daughter is obviously an erva to them. And so in which case, if it was a normal scenario of a person's daughter ends up, you know, as their, you know, shomeris yavam, there would be no chalitza, there'd be no yibum, right? There's no chalitza yibum with someone who is an erva to you. They become tuor shen yibum immediately. But the scenario is going to be that we're not sure who they are. And it's going to be an identity question. And because of that, all three cases are going to involve people whose children get mixed up at birth. We don't know who's the mother, who's the father. You know, and because of that you end up, this scenario, they end up giving, doing chalitza with them, again, because they're unsure of who's who. Because otherwise it would never happen. So what's the case? So this is where this is going to really be helpful. So ketzad, what's the case? Imo v'isha acheres v'lahen shnei zacharim. So you have an individual, his mother, and another woman. Both had children. They had two. They both had baby boys. V'chazu v'yaldu shnei zacharim v'machba. And then they have two children, two more sons v'machba, when they were like in hiding. But the point being that they were in hiding, and because of that, so then like things got confusing, and they don't know whose son is whose. Uba v'nas shalzu v'nasa imo shalzeh u'b'nas shalzu v'nasa imo shalzeh. And each one of the sons married the other person's mother, umesu b'lobanim, and then they died without, and then the sons died without any children. Okay, so what happens? So take a look in the chart. It might be a little easier to follow, right? So what happens? You have Yaakov and Rachel had a son Yosef, and then you have Reuven and Chana have a son Chetzron. Okay, and then these two families are not related to each other at all, right? And each then had another son, Levi and Yehuda, but it's not clear whose child Levi and Yehuda are. Okay, so we don't know if Levi comes from Chana, or Yehuda comes from Rachel, or is it the opposite?
But is that known at the time when the children are born that they don't know? I mean, each woman comes, takes one, and says, this may or may not be my son.
Yeah, you get mixed up, yeah, relatively, at some point, relatively early. Okay, they get mixed up. I mean, that doesn't really necessarily matter exactly what happens.
But if they don't know that they're mixed up, then the scenario never happens.
Correct, they know that they're mixed up.
So they have to know they're mixed up,
correct. Right? If they don't know they're mixed up, then they're going to make an assumption. Right. They might be wrong, but they know they're mixed up.
Okay.
So subsequently, so then what happens afterwards, Yaakov and Reuven both die. Both the fathers pass away. And Yosef and Chetzron, Yosef marries Chana, right? And Chetzron marries Rachel, okay? Mm-hmm. And then they each die without children, okay? So Levi and Yehuda are the Suffolk brothers of Chetzron and Yosef, right? So Levi and Yehuda must each do chalitza with both Chana and Rachel, because you don't know which one is the other one's brother, right? In which case, each one is doing chalitza misafek with Rachel and Chana. For each one of them will be their mother. Right? But they don't know. So because they don't know, and they might be the Yavama, they have to do a chalitza with them. So it's misafek because they just don't know if they're a mother in the first place. And that's why they have to do a chalitza with each of them. So that's case number one. Okay. Right, so let's go back to the Gemara. So we said, Zeh chalitza shteyem, zeh chalitza shteyem, nimsa ko echa ve'echad chalitza imo misafek. So meaning, they're going to, for sure, because they're both, you know, they're both doing a chalitza, because both doing a chalitza with both, so what will end up happening is, for sure, one of them doing his chalitza with their mother. Each one's doing chalitza with their mother. They just don't know which one's their mother. But they do that because to make sure that they for sure get the chalitza done with the one who's not their mother. Fine. La'choso misafik ketza. So what's the now the case of doing chalitza with the one's sister misafik? So imo v'ishto. Sorry, imo v'isha acheres shiyodushnei nekevo. So now you have this guy's mother and his and another woman, again not related, both had daughters. B'machba, again, it's like in hiding, and they got mixed up. Ubo achehen shalom osoaim, and now brothers come who are not from the same mother. Their brothers from the father, but not from the same mother. V'nasum, and they marry them. Umeisu b'lobanim, and then those same men die without children. So then again, the brothers cholitz shteyen have to do chalitza with both. Nimsa cholitz lachos misafik. Go back to the chart if you'd like. Can make it easier, or maybe you look at the chart and it makes it you even more confused. But try. So the case is, right, again is as follows. So Yaakov and Rachel, right? So Yaakov is the one who ends up passing away, right? So Yaakov and Rachel have a son, Yosef. Yaakov also had two sons, Levi and Yehuda, from a different marriage with Leah, right? Which make them Yosef's achiv mina'av. Achim na'av. So they're Yosef's brothers from the father's side, not from the mother's side. Okay? So then Yaakov dies, and Rachel marries Nachshon, with whom she has a daughter, Sarah, which makes her Yosef's achos amina'im, right? So Sarah is Yosef's sister, just sharing the same mother. At the same time, an unrelated woman gave birth to a daughter, Rivka. There's some other woman, right, Rivka, and the two daughters get mixed up. So now you have Sarah and Rivka. Rivka is not related to any of them at all, and Sarah is Yosef's sister. So later, Levi and Yehuda married Sarah and Rivka. So Levi and Yehuda, who are, again, not related at all, end up marrying Sarah and Rivka, to whom they are not related, but they die without children. So now the question becomes for Yosef, who's their brother, right, he's going to have to do chalitza for Sarah and Rivka because they are both Levi, they're his two brothers' wives. Right, they both fall in Yivam to Yosef, their husband's brother. However, Cholitz Hashem is going to do Cholitz with both. Right? Why? Because each one is Safik, his sister, from the same father. So he does Cholitz with both of them, because one of them is not related to him at all, in which case, she's just his brother's wife. He has to be Cholitza. The other one is his sister, right? But he doesn't know. And since he doesn't know, he does Cholitz with both. And Nimsa Cholitz Lachos Misafik. So he ends up for sure doing Chalitza with his sister, but doing so Misafik. Okay. Back in the Gemara. Levito Misafik Ketzad. So what's the case of Bito Misafik? This is going to be example number 3 here in the chart. Find it myself. Okay, Bito Misafik Ketzad. So how's it possible the person does Chalitza with his daughter, Misafik? So Ishto, V'isha Cheres, Shiyadu Shtin Kivu. So a man's wife and some other woman both had daughters, B'machba, again, in hiding and they get mixed up. Ubo Acheyen, and their brothers come, V'nasum, and they marry them. V'nasu, Umesu B'lobarim, and then they die without children. Zecholitz Labito Misafik, so again, take a look at the chart in source number 3, chart 3. So again, you have Kalev and Reuven, right? Each have wives. So Kalev's married to Chana, Reuven's married to Leah. And the wives of Reuven and Kalev gave birth to two girls, Sarah and Rivka, and they don't know, again, whose daughter is whose. So later what happens, Reuven's brothers Levi and Yehuda marry Sarah and Rivka. Right, because Levi and Yehuda are not related to Sarah and Rivka, in any way, they're allowed to marry them. And they're related in the sense that one of them might be like Sarah could be the niece, but you're allowed to marry. Halachically, you're allowed to marry your niece. So what happens? So Levi and Yehuda marry Sarah and Rivka, and again, and they die without children. So Reuven can't do Yibam because one of them is an erva, right? One of them is his daughter, right? But one of them is not his daughter. So again, one of them is either his daughter, one of them is not related to him at all. Same scenario. So in that scenario, so what do we do? He does chalitza with both because one of them is not related to him at all and one of them is his daughter. So it turns out he's going to do chalitza with his daughter. Yivadeh he'll do chalitza with his daughter out of a scenario because of a suffix. Okay. Yeah? Okay. Okay. So those are our three cases, three scenarios where a person could end up doing chalitza with someone who otherwise is an erva, in which we know from the way beginning would mean that they would never have to do, they're not a, you know, shomer shalom at all, but nevertheless, out of suffix, they end up doing so. Fine. Okay. So now says Gabar. Tanya, Hayar Vimir Omer, Ish Isha, Pamim Shemolidin Chamesh Umos. It's that you have a person, a couple, who can give birth to five nations. It does not mean five nations. It means five individuals who all have different halachic status. Okay, so you can have just a man and a woman, and they have five different children, and each one of those children have a different status halachically. So how can that be? Ketzad. Yisrael shalakach eved v'shivcha minashok. So a person, a Jewish person, goes ahead and he purchases an eved and a shivcha, a man and a woman who are slaves, and he buys them from the shuk. V'lahen shnei banim, and that this couple, the eved and shivcha, they have two children already. Okay, v'nisgayer echad mayhem, and one of them is migayer and becomes Jewish. Okay, so what? So nimsa echad ger ve'echad ove kochav. So now you have one of them. So now you have these again. This couple is the non-Jewish couple, right? The Eved and Shivcha. So they get purchased by the Jew, and one of their children becomes a Jew. Okay, so now they have a child who's a ger, and they have a child who's a non-Jew. So now so far they have two children. Two different halachic status, ger and non-Jew. Fine, okay. He'd be on the shem avdus. What happens if he would take those slaves that he bought and he has them go to the mikvah to become avadim? V'niskaku zelazet. And now they, the Eved and Shivcha, have a child. Harei kan ger ve'ova kochavim ve'eved. Right, so their child. When two non-Jews have a child, their child is not necessarily doesn't have an eved. When it's status of an eved, if their child belongs to the Jew in the first place, right? That's something you have a scenario where the child has an actual status as an eved. So now they have three children. Their children are ger. They have a child who's a regular over kochavim, right? He's just not Jewish. And then a child who is an actual eved, okay? Shichr es ha-shifcha. What happens if he frees the shifcha? Uba aleh ha-eved. So now the shifcha, he frees her. When the shifcha becomes free, the shifcha kananis becomes free, she becomes Jewish. Okay, so he frees her, she becomes Jewish. And now she ends up being together with the eved. That's usher. She's not supposed to be together with the eved. That's an isser. But she does so anyways. So what happens now? Harei kan ger ve'ove kochavim ve'eved. Umamzer, right now that next child is a mamzer. We're assuming like the sheet that holds that a Jewish woman is together with a non-Jew, you know, is going to create a situation of mamzeres, which we'll see in a second. Okay, shichra shnehen. What if then both he frees the male slave now also v'siyon zelazeh, and now the previous male slave and previous female slave who are now both Jewish get married to each other. Harei kan ger ve'ove kochavim ve'eved umamzer v'yisroch. So now they have another child. That child's going to be a Jew because they're Jewish. So you have a scenario where a couple, this man and the woman, they can have five children who all have five different statuses. A ger, an ove kochavim, an eved, a mamzer, and Yisrael, all coming from the same couple. Okay, very interesting. So Gemara says, okay, ma'akam ha'shulhan. That's fascinating, but so what? why do we care? So it ends the Gemara, ove kochavim ve'eved. So you see from here, this Bryce teaches the halacha that a non-Jew or an eved was together with a Bas Yisrael, that would create a mamzer. That's shita. Fine. Okay. And now the Gemara gives one other example. Tan Rabbanan yesh mocheres aviv lahagbos imok subas. It can be a scenario where a person, in a certain sense, sells his father in order to collect the ksuba for his mother. How is that? Kate said, "Yisrael lakach eved v'shivcha minashuk." A Jewish person purchases an eved and a shifcha from the shuk. V'lahem ben, and they have a child from before. V'shicheres ha-shifcha v'nasa, and the Jewish owner frees the shifcha and marries her. V'amar v'kasav kol nechasav l'bna, and then after he marries the shifcha, he gives all of his Yerusha, he gives it all to her son, who is not his son, right? He's her son. He's not Jewish. Nimsa zeh mocher, so now what happens? And then he passes away. The man dies. When the man dies, the father, you know, the, not the father, the husband, the Jewish man passes away. What happens? So now all of his nechasim go to this non-Jewish son of this woman, right? But she needs her ksuba, and all his money, all the husband's money now belongs to her son. Right, so how is she going to get the money? So the son, right? How is he going to get the money? So he has to pay off the debt basically of this original man. So what does he do? So he can go. So this non-Jewish son still has a father, right? Who's non-Jewish? Who is a non-Jewish slave of this original man? So what's he going to do? He can quote sell his father. Right? Nim says this is mocheres aviv lahagbos leimo ksubasos. So he can go ahead and he'll sell his father, one of the pieces of property that belongs to this original man. The non-Jewish, this boy now will sell the rights to his father in order to be able to pay off the ksuba of his mother, because he has all the money that belongs to her original husband. What does it teach me? So you see, the halacha is that the eved is considered like property, and the property, you know, movable property, and the property, you know, is you know, connected to the ksuba, meaning if you can't pay the ksuba, you can sell the property. Or you say no, you see from here that an eved is like karka and would end up being able to be sold. But the bottom line is, two interesting cases. We'll continue next time in the mission.